Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul, and today we're going to be talking about UAA's upcoming theater season.
Now, to talk about it, we have Fran Lautenberger and David Edgecombe, and they are back here from UAA, and both are professors of theater and dance.
Hello,
at that
Mark
college.
And Jean.
Hello.
It's nice to be back.
Hello. Yeah, it's fun
good.
To be here.
Well, welcome. Well, you got an exciting new. What number season is this?
Oh, my God. Since the we founded, Fran goes back further than I am. I do, but she is much younger than I am.
It's probably, so. I bet it's like 35 close.
Yeah,
to,
I'd say probably
34,
close to 35 years.
Yeah.
Close.
35 years of fine, would you call this collegiate theater?
Well,
no, I would call
so.
This brilliant theater.
Oh, brilliant.
It just happens to happen at college.
Way back when the rep disappeared, they said that UAA theater stepped in its place. So I kind of like to think we're even a bit beyond the usual collegiate theater. We use community members. We have all sorts of talents that come from all over Alaska.
That's true. Yeah, when you audition, you draw from the whole entire pool of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a teaching device, too.
Yes, it is. Teaching is obviously very important to us at the university.
It is. Yeah.
And what are you starting the season with?
Well, we're not going to go in order because when you ask two directors to come into a show, they want to talk about their shows first. So
very
what
good.
I want to mention mine, and then I'm going to pass it to Fran, and she's going to talk about her show. I'm going to direct a play that's very important to me. I first directed it with the Indiana Shakespeare Festival many years ago. It was our first, it was our second season offering. And my daughter was born soon after it, and we decided to name her after the principal character. The play is Taming of the Shrew, and Kate. The character was Kate, so she's Catherine.
That's how your daughter got her name.
Yes, and she doesn't like to have that known because everyone thinks that Kate is the shrew. But we're doing a modern kind of take on it, in which Kate also educates Petruchio, so that there's a balance of the sexes. And we're staging it. Fran is going to be doing the costumes, and we're staging it in the 1930s.
If you had a boy, would you have named him Petruchio?
No, but my pet is my pet, so short for Petruchio.
Oh.
Mark, it's always good to crack jokes with you, but getting back to my show, it also is a play that is very controversial in a lot of ways because feminists come and listen to the last lines of the play when Kate gets up and gives her speech about she is ashamed that women are so simple. And everyone kind of bristles today.
Right, that's right.
But I think contained in that play is, and in that last speech, is the notion that love can conquer an awful lot. And in the same way that Catherine falls desperately in love with Petruchio, Petruchio falls in love with Catherine, and they become better people for it. And I think that's what Shakespeare had in the back of his mind. Not someone being browbeaten into subservience, but two people becoming better because of a relationship. At least that's the way I'm looking at it, and I hope that plays and comes through. But Shakespeare, staged in the 1930s, most of Shakespeare's words, I've cut a lot of the thous because it takes us out of our place and time that we've said it. But other than that, you'll be hearing the words of William Shakespeare with a slightly modern bent.
I think there's just a natural antagonism between the sexes, and people have a healthy ego. So when they're put in a position of like confrontation with someone that they're in a relationship with or about to be in a relationship with, the competitive spirit and a kind of abrasiveness might come to the fore in a playful way, but some people more than others. But I think it's something that is timeless, and I think it just kind of transcends gender too.
Yes,
it depends.
Yes.
They could be two guys or two women too.
Yes.
Behaving in the same way.
I'd like to mention that my auditions are coming up September 18th, and the show opens in November. So we'll have lots of time to perfect.
Yeah, we want the time play. For the costumes. But I was going to say, speaking of the sexes, although my play, I'm doing the last show of the season, and it is my last official show at UAA. Oh, no.
Oh, why?
So
what
I'm leaving. I'm retiring.
Oh, well, congratulations.
At the end of the year. And so I decided to do a puppet show for my last show, and I started a play about 2 years ago, and I had to enlist the help of brilliant John Minton to finish writing it with me. And it's going to be part puppets, part live actors. But it's sort of a sex reversal. I have a young couple, and they travel to the scary North Country. And her husband gets imprisoned, and she has to free him. So it's all about
rescue.
How the young lady has to go and free her poor captive husband. And in the tradition of great buddy shows, she meets a host of characters who help her or hinder her on her way to go free him from the evil. And so it's a lot of really strong women characters. It's funny, a lot of the characters are based on some of my friends from UAA, some of my colleagues, especially some of my other professors I know in other departments.
I'll be looking for myself in that show. Probably the evil troll.
Mostly my girlfriend. There is actually a troll under the bridge.
Oh, that's me.
I think you'll recognize him, but it's not you. And Mari Hahn is doing the music.
Ah.
It will be
original
musical, and we've got, and it's rated G. And it's just, we've got some crazy, delightful characters. Like, I shouldn't spoil it, but we have a whole host of spiders who are kind of creepy. And
spiders.
Yes, spiders. And they enjoy Shakespeare. They're the Shakespearean spiders. So they will be having Shakespeare done with the spiders will be doing their Shakespeare thing.
And
that's what they love to do.
Puppets for adults and children, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. We have, you know, we do it on a lot of levels. The parents might get some funnier jokes than the kids might, you know. But we're doing it in the studio. So we are going to take full use of the catwalks. We'll have marionettes. We'll have rod puppets. We're going to do shadow puppets. It's going to be, and we're going to blow something up, like you do.
Excellent. Those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests, Fran Lautenberger and David Edgecombe, professors of theater and dance from UAA, talking about UAA's upcoming season. And Fran's play, continue.
Well, my play is last, so we don't open till March. But I'll jump in to talk about the first show of the season.
And your play is called Bring Back the Sunshine.
Bring Back the Sunshine.
It's original. You and John Mitten, who is a student.
I started it, and then John helped.
Who was a graduate. He graduated.
He's a really funny writer. People may know he's done some stuff at Out North.
He's done tons of stuff.
He's crazy tall. And so we had to keep him into the G-rated. You know, we had to, John, it's G-rated.
The G-rated John.
He had some funnier stuff that might have been PG-13, we're going to the G rating. But it was a great experience. I think he did a phenomenal job by adding stuff to it. And him and Mari together are writing the songs. John does the lyrics, Mari's doing the music.
What a great opportunity.
It's very fun. Mm-hmm. It's totally fun. He was so excited when he saw the brochure with his name on it. And I was like, he goes, I didn't think you would put my name. I was like, John, you wrote, you know, half of it. You should have your name on it.
Yeah, exactly.
So
he's
very
so
excited
humble.
To have his... you know, mm-hmm. credit there. And
it is exciting.
I think it's going
to
be
see your
fun.
Name in ink.
I know. It's like, oh, written by. He was very, very. So we're going to try to, we're going to have to do a fundraiser to fly him out here to actually see it. So, because he's,
he went
to the East Coast. So I know. Good. Children should go.
They should.
Children
should
go. I'll donate.
Yeah. So what else you got lined up?
So I'll even do the first show. I can do that pretty quick.
Go ahead.
The first show, Tom Skor, our chair, is directing two shows this season. So his first show is the first show of the season called
The Language,
Language of
Trees.
It is a beautifully written play. It's about war and relationships and families. It's set in a kind of a nameless Middle Eastern country. You know, I said to the one of the designers, is it Afghanistan? Is it Kuwait? Is it Iraq? Is it where? She goes, we don't specify, but a young man who speaks Arabic goes to this country and to be an interpreter, and he's kidnapped. And it's all about his wife and his son back home who, you know, see him on one of those horrible videos. You know, you're in prison mm-hmm. and you have that horrible video thing and how that is. And then there's a neighbor of the wife. There's a relationship there about how the neighbor's trying to help, but is really not. It's really, there's some beautiful visuals. I've seen part of the set design. It's just going to be very, very moving. It's a very moving, intense play. It's very, very timely. I think it's just going to be exciting.
October.
Yeah, they open in October. They are auditioning Monday.
Yes, right out of the
August
stalls.
29th. So this coming Monday at 7 on main stage. You don't have to have anything prepared. Tom's going to bring the script so people can read.
You don't have to be a student.
No, and it's a beautiful, beautiful play. I mean, it speaks to all so many emotions, and I don't want to say anything else because I don't want to spoil how it ends or anything, but it's an amazing play. I enjoyed reading it. I can't wait to see
great.
It.
Sounds great. And what else?
And the next show of our four-show season is The Playboy of the Western World. And you notice we have grouped the two classics, Taming of the Shrew and Playboy of the Western World, right in the center of our season. We're dedicated to bringing back classical theater to Anchorage. And this is a wonderful Irish play. It really means a great deal to me. I stood in the Abbey Theater and looked at some of the original photographs of the original production at the beginning of this century. And it was just thrilling to think that I was in the same place as the great actors
that
the
beginning
the board.
Of the previous century, Dave.
Yes. Did I say that? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong. I'm still in the 20th century. Anyway, it's about a young man who is accused of or boasts that he's killed his father. Now, on top of all that, it's a comedy. So how do you take that subject and make it into a comedy? And it's a revolutionary comedy. It, at the time when it opened, many people criticized it because it caused riots, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's at once funny, I think highly funny. It's one of my favorite plays. Very lyrical and very Irish.
And who wrote it?
There we go. We were just talking how you pronounce his name. John Milton Singh. And famous writer who affected all of the Irish playwrights afterwards.
It's Millington? John Millington's thing. Anyway,
thank you.
He's a lot of fun. So Tom's doing the really serious one and a super funny one, too.
So we have to wind this up. So we have four plays, if you'd like to repeat their name, the times and names.
First, we're doing The Language of Trees, which opens October 7th. Auditions are this coming Monday at 7.
Then The Taming of the Shrew by William Shakespeare, opening November 25th, auditioning September 18th. And The Playboy of the Western World, the classic Irish theater, and directed by Tom Skor, who is one of the foremost experts on dialect. It should be very good.
And then Bring Back the Sunshine, which is the puppet live theater musical, which opens March 30th, and that's for the whole family. And I'll be auditioning in November for puppeteers.
And all those interested in dance, we have the UAA Dance Ensemble and new dances, too. So please come and join us at UAA Theater.
Thank you.
That's great. Thanks so much for coming down and sharing this with us.
Thank you, guys.
I'm looking forward to an exciting season. Thank you.
Thank you, Professors Lautenberg and Edgecombe. Thanks for coming.
And also on today's program, we'll be talking about the new play Helen, opening on September 9th at Cyrano's. And to talk about it, we have Elizabeth Ware and Mark Robichaud. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mark. Nice to be here.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. And you? Okay, good. So, Helen. Now, this is like Helen of Troy.
It's like Helen of Troy.
It is Helen of Troy, but take it, Helen.
Well, it's a different take on everybody's idea of Helen. Everybody thinks that she was the one that caused the Trojan War because she ran off with a man back to Troy. But in this version, Helen had nothing to do with the war. In fact, she never got a chance to cheat on her husband. The gods intervened.
Right. No, the story is, I get so confused. Everybody heard of Helen of Troy, and then maybe they heard of Paris.
You're right.
Who you think is a woman, I always thought, or a city
Paris?
In France. But it's a shepherd.
Paris was a shepherd, but he was also a prince of Troy.
Okay.
And
see, I didn't know that.
He was supposed to, there are a whole lot of myths about
right.
it.
But there's a beauty contest.
It's a beauty contest between three of the major goddesses.
Right.
Athena, help me, Mark.
Hera,
and Aphrodite, of
and
course.
Aphrodite
has
right.
to be involved. And
happy to help.
the wrong Mark, sorry.
but Aphrodite grabs Paris and makes him be the judge of the contest.
Right.
And in order for her to win, she promises Paris the most beautiful woman in the world.
So he's bribed with Helen.
He's bribed with Helen. And in this version, we never meet Paris, but we meet Helen, but the real Helen, because the gods intervened before Helen had a chance to run off with Paris and cause this big war. The gods got in the way and replaced the real Helen with a fake Helen, a Helen made of clouds. And the fake Helen goes to Troy.
Wait a minute.
Give me a second.
This is the essence of it here.
She causes all this trouble, and it's a fake Helen that that germinates the Trojan War, which incidentally was a 10-year war.
Wow.
And the real Helen in this story gets spirited away by the gods to Egypt, where she spends the entire war, plus the 7 years after the war, waiting for her husband Menelaus to come get her. And she's a good girl. She waits. She's very good about that.
It's kind of like Odysseus and Penelope.
It is a little bit like that, because Menelaus and Odysseus were both Greek warriors in Troy.
Right.
And then the gods blew them all over the Mediterranean for 7 years after the Trojan War, just
so
because
she's
they could.
The woman who waits now.
So she's the woman who waits, and here's the clincher. She's the woman who ages. So when her husband finally does come to Egypt and find her, she's not the same woman she was 17 years earlier.
You snooze, you lose.
And that's essentially the story as told in this play by Euripides called Helen. And this play that we're doing is a modern take off of that story.
Is it set in modern garb, or
yes.
Are you Olympian on clouds?
No,
it's an interesting mix, actually.
Yeah, it is. Mark, who plays Menelaus, is a soldier, obviously. He's been fighting a war for 10 years.
He wears camos?
I'm in camos, yes.
He's in camo, so he's really hard to see. You have to
watch. I move around a lot. It makes it easier.
We have this play, and it's set in modern times. Does it parallel the current situation of the 10-year war that we're mired in, this country, I should say?
I think it echoes of that. I don't think you can help think about it in between laughing, because, oddly enough, this is a play that is hysterically funny.
Really?
And at the same time, devastatingly sad, at least for me.
Yeah, no, it is labeled as a comedy, and there's some great comic parts, none of which really are mine. I tend to get more of the drama and pain portion
of
the show.
Well, yeah, because you're the odd man out.
Yeah, you kind of bring it.
Yeah. And one of the interesting things about the play, Helen is on stage the entire time. The other four characters, Athena, Menelaus, a servant, and Io, all come on one by one and interact with her and then leave. None of us interact with each other. We all just come on and interact with Helen. So it's very much Helen's story. And the conversations she had and the thoughts she was dealing with, you know.
So there's a lot of soliloquies?
There are a lot of long stories that are told. It's funny.
Well, just like Greek mythology, there's stories within stories.
There's stories within stories, and everybody comes in and tells Helen their story, which is kind of interesting because she doesn't have anybody to tell her story to. And then in the end, it all kind of comes full circle because, as every school child knows, Homer wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey, which are the story of the Trojan War,
right,
and then the aftermath with Odysseus going all over the Mediterranean. So at the end of this play, Helen, who has finally faced the fact that she missed out on life, missed out on her marriage, and is going to accept the fact that she is now an over-the-hill woman, The servant tells her one more story, and in that final story, she tells Helen that she will grow very old, and eventually she will meet a blind man, a blind storyteller.
Tiresias? Or Homer?
No, it'll be Homer.
Homer.
Homer was the blind storyteller, and he will turn to her and say, "Tell me a story."
Tell me, okay.
So she finally tells her story.
Wow. For those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to Stage Talk on KSKA, here with our guests, Mark Robichoff and Elizabeth Ware, and they're talking about a new play that's opening on September 9th at Cyrano's, and the play is called Helen. Now, you're on stage as Helen the whole time, as Mark said.
Yeah, I go off stage for about 15 seconds.
So what goes through your head when you know at the beginning of the play you're going to be on stage all day and then, you know, and that you go into some kind of like trance, a zone, or you're just hyper, super aware and all your actorly skills come into play, or you just be the part? I mean, you know, I mean, is there a chance of you wandering away in your mind?
One time, I was talking to John Guare, the playwright.
Yes.
He was in Valdez many years ago now, and we were talking about how you start a play. And he said, well, it's a little bit like jumping off a 20-story building and just letting the fall happen. And that, you know, I don't know about you, Mark Robichoff, but...
The leap metaphor is very appropriate, I think.
Yeah.
When you step onto the stage for the first time... I'm thinking of the four-hour play Elizabeth and I did a few years ago, Virginia Woolf, stepping out on stage for the first time, knowing you've got 4 hours of dialogue in front of you, you're not thinking about hour three or hour four, you're thinking about minute one. And then minute one goes to minute two, and it's just a sequence of events at that point.
That's right. It's moment to moment.
Just like in real life, the way it should be.
Pretty much.
That's what
we hope.
Kind of
how I live my life, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Mark, as Menelaus, I mean, how do you prepare? You know, does it draw upon your personal life as a married man, as a husband?
I love this role. It doesn't draw on many of the more mundane things that we deal with day to day. Menelaus has been shipwrecked. He's come back from 10 years of war. You know, he is essentially half mad. You know, in his scene, he's not sure where he is. He's not sure who he's with. He's not sure who his wife is,
like,
or where she is, or he's
very much.
He's very confused, particularly as it pertains to Helen, because he's been with this cloud Helen for 10 years that he sort of loves but doesn't really.
So, is it the cloud Helen? What is it? Kind of like a ghost? Is it like a figment of his imagination, or is it an actual kind of negative space aspect of a projection of the same?
She's
Helen.
A doppelganger put there in place by the gods, and she doesn't age.
She's absolutely perfect.
The ideal Helen,
yes, yeah. But she's not real, and Menelaus knows that. And he knows, he hoped somewhere deep inside, he hoped there was a real Helen somewhere that wasn't this person, this cloud person that he knew wasn't real. He hoped it for 10 years, and this play contains the moment where he realizes that was true the whole time, even after the 10-year war.
And is he pleased when he encounters the actual real flesh and blood Helen that's not the cloud? Helen?
To give you one of my dialogue lines, it's too late.
It's too late. So is this a tragedy?
Tragic comedy.
Toward the end.
Yeah.
It was even billed, Euripides, you know, who wrote the original version that this is based on, was famous for a couple of pretty heavy-duty tragedies. The Trojan Women and Medea come immediately to mind. This play... Even he billed it as a tragicomedy. So
really?
Everybody was a little puzzled by this, even back in 500 BC. And I think it's an interesting, we've had some people that have stopped in at rehearsals and they've seen the first part of the play, which is very funny. And they say, oh, this is just a laugh a minute. I can't wait to see the whole thing. And I kind of feel like, okay, talk to me after you've seen the whole thing, because there's some pretty heavy-duty reality that sets in toward the end.
Let's say reality, like no matter how happy the rest of the play, it's all going to end in, you know, time and death. And
well, I think eventually it ends hopefully, but it certainly doesn't end with, and they lived happily ever after.
Oh, wow. I got to see. Now, who wrote this script?
The play is by a woman named Ellen McLaughlin, and she is a playwright on the East Coast. She teaches at Barnard, and she's most famous. Some people might remember her if they saw Angels in America on Broadway.
Yeah.
She was the angel.
Okay.
So she is an actress as well as a playwright, and she has devoted the last 10 years, I would think, to adapting the ancient Greek plays into modern interpretations.
Wow.
And this is one of her best. I really love this play.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be quite terrific, you know, whether you like the classics or not. something for everybody.
Well,
here.
It's definitely like not like your typical Greek tragedy, believe me.
Wow.
Yeah, and this is not a Euripides play we're performing here. This is some modern fair. I mean, some adult fair. A little bit of adult language, but very, very digestible.
Well, thank you so much for coming down here. We're out of time. It's been fascinating.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've been talking to Elizabeth Ware and Mark Robocoff talking about Helen, a play that opens at Cyrano's on September 9th. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
And now here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar or to post your event, go to Datebook 49 on alaskapublic.org. The Poetry Parlay, to be held on September 21st, is looking for readers. Poems by William Carlos Williams and local prize-winning poet D.K. McKenzie will be read. Contact poetryparlay@gmail.com. At Cyrano's on September 11th through the 13th, that's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you can see a double bill of 20th Century Man and In Their Own Words, put on by Brian Hutton. Tickets are available at the door. And finally, opening next week at Cyrano's is Helen. Showtimes will be Thursdays through Friday at 7 and Sunday at 3. For tickets and information for either show, you can call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at alaskapublic.org. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Mark Muro for KSKA.